Episode 117.
Late Night Internet Marketing.
This week on the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast, we tell you exactly how to tackle procrastination if we ever get around to it. All this and more on the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
The Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
You've been working for somebody else, but you want a business to run yourself. You want to know how to start and where to begin. Can you get out your comfort zone, my friend? Yes, you can do it right when it's late at night. At the end of the day, your dreams burn inside. So keep it up and you will find that you're building your business one night at a time.
And now, broadcasting late at night from a little studio in the big state of Texas, your host, Mark Mason.
All right. I hope you're having a fantastic week. You know, coming into 2017, we've been talking a lot about goals, and I've been telling you a lot about all the amazing free content that Michael Hyatt has been generating. He's got a webinar going on this week over at latenightim.com/BYE for best year ever, BYE webinar. And you might want to check that out. It's going to be super fantastic free content. Michael Hyatt's one of these guys that does webinars that are 90% amazing actionable content and only 10% sales pitch. So if you're wanting to get in the mood to set your goals for 2017, he's going to have some fantastic content over there. Again, latenightim.com/BYE webinar. That's going to be great. And as part of the 2017 planning that I've been doing, I've been thinking about completely changing the format of the show. You know, a lot of my friends, Daniel J. Lewis, for example, have comedy podcasts. And I was thinking, you know, this internet marketing for profit thing has been successful, but we've got over 100 episodes now. And I'm thinking maybe an internet marketing comedy podcast. So I thought I'd try a couple of those on you. We can kind of try it out and see what you guys think. And, you know, if you like it, we might just change the format of the whole show. For example, here's one for you. Why did the marketer get off the trampoline? Well, he was worried about his bounce rate. Yeah, I know. It's not so great. Okay. One more. A stock photo walks into a bar, and the patrons start pointing and giggling, and the stock photo looks at the bartender and says, "Why is everyone staring?" And the bartender says, "Ha, your alt tag is showing." Yeah. Okay. Not so great. All right. Last one. This is a great one. Best joke ever. What's a pirate's favorite piece of marketing content? This is a special one for Amy Porterfield. It's a webinarg. Okay. All right, I'm done. Very good. Let's get to some listener feedback.
And now, it's time to hear what listeners just like you are thinking.
Late night listener feedback. Feedback.
Aren't you guys glad that the idea of the internet marketing comedy podcast itself is a joke and that I'm not going in that direction? Or have you already unsubscribed? I hope not. Okay, so some cool listener feedback this week. And first of all, a review in iTunes. You know, I appreciate those very much. Awesome review by Chet Bowen, who says, "Mark, thanks for doing the podcast. You have excellent content and you motivate me to do this." And by this, I think Chet means the internet marketing do that Chet do, you know, the stuff that he does. He gets some motivation from the podcast, and that makes me feel great. Because one of the kind of amazing things about this format is that I can be bigger than me. I can help people in some way that allows them to accomplish way more, allows you people to accomplish way more than I could ever accomplish myself. And I really, really like that. So Chet, thanks for the feedback. And if you guys out there want to leave a review in iTunes, I'd love that. head on over to latenightim.com/iTunes and you'll get right there and you'll be able to do that very easily. I got a great tweet from Dennis Isalas the other day on Twitter. I wanted to give him a shout out. What up, Dennis? You know, I always ask on Twitter, what can I do to make your day amazing? And he says, hey, I'd love a shout out on the podcast. So shout out to you, brother. Thank you very much. We had a long and very interesting conversation about how to pronounce his last name correctly, which I'm sure I totally crucified. So I'm sorry about that. But I really love hearing from you guys on Twitter and all of those different things. And if you want to reach me, you can always go over to latenightim.com/connect. I would love to hear from you. I want to hear what you're up to, what I can help you with, what's going on, and all that kind of stuff. So thanks for the feedback, guys. Keep it coming. It makes me smile.
It's time to get to work building your internet business. One night at a time.
Okay, so I want to get right into this procrastination business. And when I told my wife, I said, hey, you want to come on the podcast? Because I'm doing a show about procrastination. And she laughed. She laughed at me, which was hilarious. And then she said something, you know, like, hey, well, you're an expert at that. And it's true. This is a physician heal thyself moment. I've worked a lot on procrastination over the years. I'm really good at figuring out how to avoid doing things that I either don't want to do or I'm not in the mood to do or, you know, I don't know. I mean, that's what we're going to unpack here is kind of what you should do when you find yourself procrastinating. And so what I've done is I've kind of broken it down for you into the five phases of this procrastination correction. And then the fifth phase, I'll just go ahead and tell you, is where you take some action to overcome the procrastination. And I've got 10 ways, 10 things that you can do once you're at that point where you're ready to correct the procrastination that you can do to get over it. And so without further ado, let's talk about these four phases of procrastination healing that you can go through before you go to the fifth phase where you're actually doing something about it. Now, the first phase in my mind is that you have to recognize procrastination. And I say this because sometimes your procrastination is so inherent or so built in, such a part of your subconscious that you don't even realize you're procrastinating. You continue to put stuff off for maybe what you think are good reasons. You haven't even really thought about it. And then days and weeks and sometimes months go by. Sometimes so much time goes by that you procrastinate on something so long you legitimately forget about it entirely. And you kind of, you know, you don't even realize you're procrastinating. So I think the first thing to understand is when this is happening to you. What is it in your life that's not getting done on time that you're not getting around to? Sometimes it's painfully obvious because you're aware of it and it's causing you stress and there's these items on your list that you see every day that you're not doing. That's one kind of procrastination, but I think another kind of procrastination is the kind of procrastination that you put off and you don't ever, you don't even really recognize that you're doing it, like that doctor's appointment that you, for some reason, you really don't want to schedule, or that proactive thing that you need to do with your finances that you're just not even really even thinking about. It's not even in front of you in your conscious mind. So the first thing to do is to recognize procrastination. Now, one way that I can see procrastination is that I use this online or this computer tool for scheduling and reminding me of things called OmniFocus. And I try to list everything that I might want to do someday in the near term, in the long term, inside that tool. So it's literally got hundreds of items in there of things that I've thought about. And I do that to get those things off of my mind. And in some cases, I've got things that I've written down in there months and months or even years ago that I just haven't done for whatever reason. And so writing things down and keeping track of the ideas that you have about the things that you might want to do someday or that you should do someday, maybe sooner rather than later, is a great idea. Reviewing those lists will help you recognize procrastination. So that's the first thing. Make sure that you own it, recognize it and own it. And then I think the second thing, and this may be the important thing, the most important thing of these five things, understand why it is that you're procrastinating on that topic. And usually it's going to be one of two things. Either you don't have a good reason to be doing it in the first place. You're not connected with your why. You're procrastinating because you're not sufficiently motivated. You don't understand inside, deep inside, where your intrinsic motivation comes from. You don't understand why it is you're doing it in the first place. You're doing it because somebody told you you should, or you're doing it because who knows why, but you don't know why. Okay. And so I think when you're procrastinating on something, one thing to do is to unpack the why it's on the list in the first place. And is it important? And if it's not important, let's take it off the list and not do it or deprioritize it. And then we won't be procrastinating anymore. If it is important, let's understand why it's important. And that will help us have the fuel and motivation and sort of intrinsic push that we need to get something done. Now, the other reason that I think you need to understand why you're procrastinating is a lot of times people procrastinate because they have some limiting belief that they have not yet dealt with. There is something about what they're worried about that it's preventing them from moving forward. They're worried that their work's not going to be good enough, or that people won't accept them, or they'll be criticized, or they fear success, or they have limited beliefs around money, or they have something about imposter syndrome where they don't feel like they're qualified to do the thing, or they're not sure exactly what to do because they don't think they're qualified to decide how to proceed. All of these kind of things, these limiting beliefs, I think are important to understand. And when you identify those limiting beliefs, for example, like fear, you've got to unpack them. And, you know, fear is a really good one, because usually if you write down the very worst things that can happen, if you attempt something and fail, usually those very worst things aren't very bad. And most limiting beliefs are like that. You know, that when you really get down to measuring these fears and other concerns that you have, they're really small in comparison to what you should be able to gain by powering through them. And so understand why you're procrastinating. That will help you deal with it later when we get down to the actions. I think the third phase of this, you know, procrastination journey, this five-step program for procrastination, after you've recognized the procrastination and unpacked why it's happening, is to go ahead and forgive yourself. Look, we all do it. Everyone procrastinates. Some of us, like me, procrastinate chronically. Okay. That's fine. It happens. You need to work to make yourself better and get better and fix it. But dwelling in the past over this issue, or actually most other issues, is not really very instructive. Once you've learned whatever lesson there is to learn from the past, in this case, it would be, hey, I'm a procrastinator and I need to do something about it. That really the only way forward is through. You want to go ahead and look in the forward direction. To heck with all this baloney about beating yourself up about things that happened in the past. You're going to need all of your mental energy and focus to move forward. So I don't want you spending time with self-recriminations and all these kinds of, you know, all this heavy baggage. Let all that go. Let's move forward. Dragging that junk with you is not going to help you at all. You need to forgive yourself and go forward. And then I think the fourth thing that you need to do as part of that ditching exercise, where you're ditching all the baggage that you have and all the guilt and self-recrimination, you need to ditch your excuses. And this is one of the places where procrastinators excel. You'll see this particularly in college students. I hear this even in corporate America. People will tell me, I work better under pressure. Dude, you do not work better under pressure. You may be more efficient under pressure out of necessity, but I guarantee you the quality of your work is not better under pressure. We hear that one all the time. That cracks me up. A lot of people feel like they can finish things at the last minute, because at the last minute, you know, that'll necessarily kind of constrain the time or whatever. You know, they have all these scheduling excuses, or they just have the excuse that they don't want to right now, or that they don't feel well right now, or they don't feel like it, or they're not in the right mood, or the moon phase is not right, or whatever. Whatever your excuse is. My favorite one is dieting. I'll start on Monday. Well, what the heck? Why are you going to start your diet on Monday? I'm going to party this weekend and start on Monday. And then you're going to blow your diet on Thursday and start over again on Monday. This procrastination thing, these kinds of, I don't want to start this right now, I'm going to start it in the future. All these excuses for why you do that, you got to set all those aside. You got to leave them with the baggage. So once you've done this, once you've recognized the procrastination and understood, at least as best you can, why you're procrastinating, and forgiven yourself for the procrastination, and agreed with yourself, made a contract with yourself that you're not going to make excuses, what actions can you take to kill the procrastination and prevent future procrastination? What can you set up to be successful and get procrastination the heck out of the way? Well, the first thing you can do is you can create accountability. I think this is a well-proven thing. Tell people what you're doing when it's appropriate. Ask them to hold you accountable. Ask your partners in your business to hold you accountable. Talk to people about what you're doing. Let them know so that you'll be in fear of them asking you how things are going, because you don't want to have to say, oh, I haven't really started that yet, and make an excuse, because you've already agreed above you're not going to make excuses. So you just look like a dummy. So the best thing to do is to help people hold you accountable. This can be done with mastermind groups. You can find accountability partners specifically for this case. I've even seen cases where people use these virtual assistance type services like Fancy Hands or one of these other ones to actually schedule a call in the future to have the assistant call and ask the person how they're doing. You know, a programmed hired accountability partner. You know, these kinds of things exist. The other thing you can do in terms of accountability is you can use technology. There's a lot of apps out there, habit building apps and so forth, that will help you, or even just calendar reminders where you set a calendar reminder to journal your progress, or maybe you use Day One Journal to journal your progress on your computer, kind of to force you to recognize when you're making progress, or more importantly, when you're not making progress. It's kind of like when you're dieting and you log your food. If you log your progress, you can hold yourself accountable and use technology to help you create accountability. So that's the first thing. The second thing is obvious, and you hear this a lot, is to optimize your environment. And this goes in a lot of directions. You can remove distractions by turning off Wi-Fi. I heard Amy Porterfield say the other day that she sometimes, during her tiger time, she turns off her Wi-Fi, which is hard for me to even imagine. Does the computer work when there's no Wi-Fi? I know it does. I'm just kidding. But I mean, that's a pretty extreme thing. They have these Facebook blockers that you can install. You can turn off your email and all these sort of things. So you can remove those digital distractions. You can also remove other distractions like televisions and radios and other noise and other kinds of distractions in your environment to make sure that you don't get distracted. You can make sure you have a kind of a zen workspace without a lot of junk on your desk to accomplish this distraction removal. And the other thing is you can just move. I mean, you can get up and go work at Starbucks or something to help deal with distraction. You can put yourself in a foreign environment where there's just not a lot of other stuff to do. You can't get up and go do a chore if you're at Starbucks. You're kind of trapped there in front of your computer. So optimize your environment to make it most likely that you'll be successful in completing whatever task it is that you need to complete. So that's the second thing. The third thing is break it down. A lot of procrastination, this goes back to why. Sometimes the why for procrastination is that the task is massive and intimidating. I'm feeling this a little bit with this course, this late night affiliate course that I'm trying to create, that's going to have, you know, tens of videos and all of this content that I've got to create and that I'm in the process of creating, it just seems so overwhelming. And it goes back to the, you know, how do you eat an elephant thing? It's one bite at a time. A journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. It's that thing. And so sometimes if you'll just go ahead and break down this task that you're procrastinating and commit to accomplishing the very first task, whatever it is, and setting some small goals behind that, that can get you going. And once you build up some momentum, you can really make some progress. So this thing that's bugging you, break it down. If it's your income tax that you're procrastinating on, I understand that. I procrastinate on my income tax every year. I can't tell you how many times I've filed extensions, not because I didn't have all the information I needed available, but just because I didn't want to take care of the paperwork and I knew I could simply file an extension. Really, the way to do it is, and when I'm successful with it, I break it down into small tasks. I have the needed paperwork. Well, that's a lot of paperwork. Well, what's the first thing? Well, it's the P&L statement for the business from the accountant. It's, you know, other kinds of paperwork, the you know, mortgage statements or whatever it is that you need for your income taxes, and break that down into steps in a tool like OmniFocus or on a piece of scratch paper, and do the first step and keep doing those steps and break it down into little goals and get it done, because it's a lot easier to go ahead and bust through procrastination to fix a small thing, to take care of a small thing. If you got to take care of a big thing, like boiling the entire ocean, it's going to be a lot harder. So that's number three, break it down. And number four is to just take bold action. You know, sometimes the way to bust through procrastination is ready, fire, aim, right? You don't know exactly what to do. Maybe you're procrastinating because you're not sure that what you're going to do next is going to be the right thing. Well, sometimes it's faster to just go ahead and do the thing, screw it up and fix it, than it is to sit there and theorize and analyze and go through analysis paralysis trying to figure out exactly what it is that you should be doing. Just go do something. Take some bold action. Bold action is most often rewarded, especially in this kind of business. You can take some action and learn from it. And if it's not exactly right, you can fix it. You know, publish that blog post, the epic blog post. And if there are mistakes in it, guess what? WordPress has an edit function. Go edit it. You know, it's not that big a deal. If you put out a course and one of the videos is not perfect, after the course is out and you get some feedback, fix it. The people that bought your course will love you for that, because they're going to see you as responsive. I'm not saying you should be irresponsible and not try to do your best work all the time, but doing no work at all is certainly not going to get you anywhere. You need to take bold action, and that's number four. Number five is be realistic about what it is that you can accomplish. Sometimes we procrastinate, and I'm definitely on this list. We procrastinate because we are so overwhelmed with stuff we don't even know where to start. And so rather than starting, we go watch NCIS. I always pick on those guys because I like that show. But we don't start at all, because we just know there's no way we're going to do it all. And it's just kind of, it's demoralizing and stressful. And so the easiest thing to do is to check out. I'll figure it out tomorrow. I'm too tired. I'm going to bed. I'm going to watch TV. I'll watch the news. I need to know what the weather is tomorrow. Whatever your excuse is, because you've got an unrealistic schedule to begin with. So number five, absolutely get realistic. Number six is my favorite one that I've talked about for so many years now, is leverage your habits. And the best habit that you can have to knock out procrastination is work on your business every day. So if you're procrastinating in your business, but you're working on it every day, it's pretty easy for you to just slide that procrastination thing into the next slot, since you're doing something every day. Where we get in trouble is we procrastinate on things we need to do, and then we don't do anything on Tuesday night, and then on Wednesday night, and then on Thursday night, and then it's the weekend, and oh, by the way, we're busy this weekend, and a week has gone by, and you haven't really made any real progress in your business, and the progress that you did make, you were mostly goofing around on Facebook, okay? That's what we want to avoid. And one way to build up a defense against that is the sixth item of leveraging habits. getting up every morning and doing X, Y, and Z every morning, every day, or making sure that you do something in your business every day to make a little progress, making sure that you review your top items every week to make sure that you know whatever your rituals are for success, leverage those habits, understanding that you can use them in the battle against procrastination. That can take you a really long way. Now, maybe you don't have these habits. Then I think you should start by picking one and developing it. And again, my favorite is don't let a day go by without doing something that moves your business forward, even if it's just a little bit. Of course, that applies best to part-time entrepreneurs. If you're a full-time entrepreneur, you're obviously already doing a little something every day at least, or at least I hope you are if you're spending the whole day on your business. So you're going to want to pick something else. And maybe that habit is a Sunday evening ritual to plan out your week, a Monday morning ritual to create content, whatever that is. Use that to help defeat procrastination. Leverage your habits. That's the sixth item. And number seven is change your habits. So let's say that you've got these habits or you've got some habits and they're not working for you. Do something radical, change a radical change in your habits just to defeat the procrastination. So if you've got something that you just absolutely can't deal with, you just haven't been able to do it, it's a big task and you haven't been able to get it done, change your habit of working at home every day and go rent a hotel room and sequester yourself until the task is done. Or in fact, I knew somebody, that's how he did product creations. Jimmy Brown, a lot of times over the years, will lock himself in a hotel room for a day or two until his product is created, and then he'll go sell it and make a lot of money. So that's change your habits. Get up early this week until that procrastination item is dealt with. Commit to getting out of bed early and using that extra time and change of scenery, that changed habit, to actually get something done. Just radically change what you're doing. If you never work at Starbucks, go work at Starbucks. Change things up, change your habits, and use that disruption to give you the energy that you need to get the thing done that you have not been able to get done. That's number seven. Number eight, use the right tool, and or maybe even buy a tool. You know, there's no reason that you can't make this fun. And sometimes we procrastinate because we are not in possession of the best tool for the job. And maybe you need to defeat that by going out and getting the tool you need. Maybe it's that piece of software you've been wanting, but you really can't afford or haven't been able to justify. But maybe it would be worth it if it helped you overcome this thing that you've been trying to get done and get it done. Maybe that software would be worth it. Maybe that new computer would help and get you the excitement that you need to get past this. You know, I often do this at Lowe's and Home Depot, which are home improvement stores. A long time ago, I decided that having tools in my possession, owning tools, was a really important thing. So every time that I do a new project around the house, when I'm going to Lowe's or Home Depot, which are, again, these big supply kind of stores here in the United States, I also try and throw a tool in my basket that I don't have, but that I need for the project. So maybe there's a special wrench or some kind of, special something that I need that I don't own. And yeah, I could probably do the project without it, but having that new tool now in my arsenal forever, as hand tools tend to be, will make all future projects more efficient. It makes it fun for me. It's like a little built-in reward that I get every time I do a home improvement project. And so, you know, that's a thing you can do. Maybe you have this kind of built-in improvement process that goes along with defeating the procrastination, where you add in a tool to help you get the job done and defeat the procrastination. That's sort of that number eight, using the right tool or getting yourself a tool. It's very closely related to number nine. Make sure that you set a reward for winning against the procrastination. When you accomplish the thing that you haven't been accomplishing, make sure you declare victory, reward yourself. And you may want to set that reward ahead of time as part of the way that you overcome the procrastination. I really want a double meat cheeseburger, but I'm not going to go get one until I finish this task. You know, that sort of thing. And what goes right and hand in hand with this on number nine is gamification. Sometimes if you gamify what it is that you've been procrastinating on, that can help too. So, you know, you set some goals or maybe make a race out of it. Maybe you've got a buddy who's trying to do this too, and you can race them. Whatever you can do to turn it into a game, this kind of idea of gamification can be very helpful too. And the reward can be part of that gamification. So definitely recommend that sort of approach to defeat procrastination. And the 10th thing that I'll offer you, and this is my absolute favorite, outsource it. You don't want to do it. I get it. So don't do it. Find somebody else to do it. You know, one of the great things about being an entrepreneur is that you can architect your business over time to focus on the things that you're good at and absolutely not do the things that you're terrible at. I am terrible at accounting, not because I don't know math. I can't even tell you how much math I took. I don't know how many. I've never counted it up, but, you know, 5 or 6 math courses in undergraduate school, 3 or 4 math courses in graduate school. Boy knows some math, okay? I hate accounting. I can't stand it. The last thing I want to do is figure out what column in some spreadsheet in what category to put against my ConvertKit bill. I just could care less. So I have somebody do that. Otherwise, I would procrastinate doing it. And guess what? My income tax would be even later than it already is. So there you go. So outsource it. And this is a lot easier than you think. You know, you can go on, you know, depending on what it is that you're trying to get done, you can have virtual assistants that will do that for you. You can go on these websites, these work sharing websites where you can hire people on an hourly basis to do the kinds of things that you need to do. Sometimes you can find people on Fiverr to do the kind of thing that you don't want to do. If it's creating that graphic that you're procrastinating on, don't create the graphic. Have a guy on Fiverr create 5 different versions and pick one. Right? Or if you've got some budget, go to 99 Designs. Then you'll have as many graphics as you can possibly stand to look at and shake. You won't even be able to shake a stick at all of these graphics. So the point is, if you're procrastinating on something, then just don't do it. Have somebody else do it. As long as it gets done, sort of who cares, right? As long as it's not something that you absolutely have to do, there's no reason not to outsource the things that you're procrastinating on. So those are 10 actions you can take. You can create accountability, optimize your environment, break your stuff down. You can take some bold action, get realistic about the stuff that you need to do. You can leverage your existing habits, or you can change your habits if that helps. You can use the right tool for the job. You can set up rewards and gamification, or you can outsource. Those are my 10 strategies for busting through procrastination. I hope that is super helpful to you. Now, here's what I want you to do. Figure out the one thing that you've been procrastinating on and apply these items, which will be available for you in the show notes at latenightim.com/117, and go get her done, man. Go get it done. You can do it. Until next week, I'll see you.
You can do it right. Late at night.
You've been listening to the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
Be sure to visit latenightpodcast.com today to leave feedback for Mark. Download special bonus content, access the show notes, and more. See you there.
Until then, go and make some great progress on your internet business. One night at a time.
One night at a time.
I'm so disappointed that my cheesy marketing jokes didn't make it. I mean, I have great ones. Like, here's one. What did the new internet marketing executive at Chips Ahoy do her very first day on the job? She enabled cookies. That's great, right? I knew you guys would totally, totally love that. So, I mean, what kind of internet marketer do you never, ever want to hire in your business? Well, you never hire someone who's antisocial. See? See how that works? That's so great. I knew you guys would absolutely love these. I'll give you one more. This is your last one. I know you're jonesing for more. I know you're going to write me and you're going to say, man, we want the jokes. Let me ask you, why did the two marketers decide not to get married? Because they weren't on the same landing page. Ciao.
Late night internet marketing.
Hey, it's Mark again. I wanted to tell you one more time about this absolutely free resource that I have for helping people who are trying to get the big picture for internet marketing, actually get started and understand what all their choices are. If that's not you, there's no more content. You can skip to the end. But if you're someone who came to this podcast because you're searching for how to get started online and you just can't cut through all the noise, I get it. That was me in 2007 when I was trying to get started. There were so many people throwing offers at me that I really couldn't even understand what all the different business models were. I couldn't understand how money moved around on the internet. And I couldn't really get a grip on what direction I wanted to go in so I could figure out how to move forward. I've created a free video resource for you just for that purpose at latenightim.com/explain. In several short videos, I just explain to you what internet marketing is all about and what online business is all about and the different options that you have for starting an online business. There's nothing to buy there. You just sign up for access and you get the videos just like that. So if that's interesting to you, or if you know someone who's in a same situation, send them that link, latenightim.com/explain. And let me know what you think. I'd love to hear what people are thinking that are in the exact same position that I was in more than a decade ago in 2007. In some ways, it seems like yesterday. And in some ways, it seems like an entire lifetime ago. Again, that's latenightim.com/explain.
Late night internet.